We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Well, I'm excited to be able to share with you some thoughts that have been on my heart here for a little while. Hope you enjoyed the barbecue, those of you that got to partake in the festivities. And we actually have a little bit of barbecue left over. If you are needing something to work or needing some dinner to take to work, we have them in trays that we're going to be selling the remaining barbecue. That's all that's left at barbecue for $5 a plate. Maybe you could take some to work. We're going to do that afterwards. There's only about 15, 20, something like that. And so we're going to make that available for you here in just after the service. But, you know, since the Romanian missions trip fundraiser that we did this morning, it seemed like the ideal time to be a part to just try to explain and share with our church body as a whole what exactly it is that we're doing in Romania, why we're going to Romania. And so to do that, we're going to go to Philippians chapter number 4 and take a look at some things here from the exemplary missionary Paul himself. I do thank you for all of the support, the prayers, the financial contributions that so many of you have been a part of. We have raised over $3,000 just today through the fundraiser, and it's a wonderful thing. Several weeks ago, we did a Chick-fil-A fundraiser, if you guys remember that, and we brought in $300 there for that fundraiser, and there have been also over $1,000 of people that have just said, we want to be a blessing, we want to help, and if there's somebody that needs a little bit of funds, we want you just to put it towards whoever you want to put it towards, or they'll just say, we have it towards certain people in particular, and it's been a wonderful thing. Over $4,000 has come in, and yeah, for sure. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I was telling Pastor that, I said, well, truthfully, it's more than $4,000. It's that we've made $4,000, because more than that has been contributed by you guys. And there are others that maybe we're not able to contribute financially, but you have given of yourself, you've given supplies, and we're going to talk about some of those things in a moment. But before we continue or get into the message today, we have to, if you'll help me and join me in giving a big hand to Mr. Kevin McCann. Yeah. He's not, he doesn't like this, I know, but stayed up over 24 hours cooking all of that barbecue, smoking it, and torturing the staff as we had to smell it, and not able to do it, but he worked tirelessly and went up to him and told him, I appreciate you doing that, and he said, I may not be able to go to Romania, but I can get you guys there. Amen. And, you know, I'm so thankful for you. I appreciate you and all that you've done. So I'm going to speak to you tonight on see the title on the screen, being mission ready. Mission ready. What does that look like for us to be ready to be able to do mission effectively, what God has called for us to be able to do? And so we're in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 14. Paul is writing here to the church of Philippi and is writing to this church, really commending them for the way that they supported him, the way they loved on him. And this is where we're going to pick up in verse number 14 of Philippians 4. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done, as he commends him for a great many things that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that may abound, or the fruit may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And we like this verse. We probably quote it quite a bit. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This letter is a fascinating one. We've done sermon studies on this in the past, and it's so rich in content. The main purpose of this letter, of course, is expressing joy. Paul is in prison as he is writing this, is in custody, and some wonderful things all come out. And he writes the church of Philippi, commending them, thanking them for their support, their prayers. And the church was more than just passively interested in Paul. They were all the way interested in Paul. They weren't just passive about this thing. One of the ways they expressed their interest was by sending one of their own, Epaphroditus. And they sent one of their very own to go in. And we have some of our very own that are going to be going over to Romania here in just a few weeks. Believe it or not, it won't be long. We're going to be flying the friendly skies. Do they still say that? I don't know. We're going to be going into the skies. And this is our picture of our team, our missions team, and I've shared it with you before. There's 15 of us that are going to be going over to Romania and ministering over there. I want to unpack a little bit of that for you here tonight, here in just a moment. We'll be serving with this family, the Zemers. They've been, we first were able to get into contact with them through Brother Barry Van Wetchel, and they'd been friends for a long time, and we had heard him talk about the Zemer family for the longest time, and then we were finally able to meet them, and the Lord just knit our hearts together, and for the service that he's doing, the ministry that he has, and we're so thankful to be able to go and to be a part of the work that's going on there in Romania, and so we'll unpack that here in just a moment. It's interesting to note that here in this passage, Paul was not off by himself. There were people that joined, that came alongside him and helped him in the ministry. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." You know, we're all in this together. They, the pictures you just saw, they're not off on the island by themselves. They have a lot of people that pray and love and support them and have been for a great many years. And now we've been able to partner up there beside them, and they're not going off alone by themselves. You that have been in ministry, many of you have been involved in ministry and teaching in all kinds of different forms and fashions. I'll tell you, ministry is no secret. It is very tough. It is lonely. It is hard. And this is never more so true than in the case of missionaries who are serving in unknown places around the world. And you know, the reality is this, that no man or ministry is independent or self-sufficient. We all need the body of Christ. We all need other people. We need support. We need encouragement. We need friendship. We need finances. We need peace of mind that someone will be behind us praying, supporting, and lifting up our arms as we serve the body of Christ, as we serve others that are in desperate need of the gospel. One of the things that we want to do is to be able to go over there and be an encouragement, to offer friendship, to support, finances, peace of mind, to let them know that we are doing more than just saying, "Hey, we're behind you." We're actually sending some of our very own to say, "Listen, we want you to know that we love you, we're here, and we want to do all we can to help hold up your arms as you're ministering there in Romania." There's a picture of Romania, of what we're going to do, a couple of bullet points that are highlighted. You can see Bucharest. We're going to be flying right into Bucharest there, and there are several things we could highlight, but there's the... After we fly into Bucharest, we'll be going to a place called Fundula, which is where the main church plant is at and where Brother Zemer is at. And out of, not too far from there, are five different locations that are different satellite locations, different churches that have come from Brother Zemer's work that the Lord has allowed him to do over there. And we're going to be serving in each one of those different cities and being able to do that. And you can see the locations if you have really good eyes, you can see the locations that are here. And these couples that are off to the side are the folks that are heading up these areas of ministry for him, that are the pastors of these churches that are helping. And so what we're going to be doing is flying in on a Saturday. And after we've landed there on a Saturday, we're going to be, of course, come and unpack and get settled and that kind of thing there at Brother Zemer's house. And then that night, there is a Bible study of some sort. He's not sure exactly what's going to transpire yet. We have a Bible study of some sort, maybe a young adult class, and we're going to be able to go and give a testimony, tell a little bit. We're probably going to be really tired, just so you know. We're going to be coming in hot, and I met with him just before. He just happened to be coming by the office a couple weeks ago, and he says, "You're not going to feel like much of anything." And I said, "Well, that's no different than..." No, he said, "You're really going to be zapped." But this is a great inroad to go, and you can hear they'll probably be, you know, doing a Bible study of some sort. But you'll be able to share a testimony, perhaps, and just be there, have a presence, and get used to a little bit of how we do things. And then there are those five different locations. We're going to be split up into teams of five, and we'll be going to three different locations on that Sunday. And then after that, they have an afternoon service at one of their locations. We're trying to work out, wouldn't this be neat? We're trying to work out to see if we can Skype some of our missions team here. Like, wouldn't it be cool to open up the service? And we've already, you know, been able, the time difference, we'll be able to have several of us a big selfie. I don't know. We'll figure out something. We'll do a Skype call. We're going to see, hope we can do that. And that would be a wonderful thing to be able to connect with you. And we're looking forward to that. After we get the chance to minister there on Sunday, we're going to be able to go out Monday through Friday and minister at Camp Eli. There's a phenomenal story that goes behind this that we don't have time to dive into here. Now, Brother Zimmer, explain to us how this unfolded and how this camp and the actual Eli, the man himself, and the story is a marvelous one. But we're going to be going there Monday through Friday and actually doing the very VBS that we're doing here. And so Camp Kilimanjaro, we're going to be doing that and taking a lot of our folks that are working in VBS here, we're going to be taking things over there. We even have a contact through Mr. Joel Good, who knows the people who put this curriculum together, and we're getting some of the materials actually in Romanian, and they don't even have it in Romanian, so they're working that angle for us, and we're thankful for that. We're taking our VBS over there, and it's going to be like a morning VBS. The afternoon's going to have some activities and some teaching and lots of many different things. We'll come back Saturday, then we're going to minister in the churches again, and then after we're done in the churches, we're going to collapse. No, we're going to get on a plane, we're going to come back home, and we look forward to, you know, of the wonderful things that we prayerfully will be able to see God's hand of movement on, God's touch upon. You know, in preparing to go to a foreign field, it takes a lot of effort, right? It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of things. You know, when I start to think about it, we have the privilege of talking with many different missionaries. There are years of deputation, planning, survey trips, strategic thinking, philosophy, mission boards, insurance matters. The list is pages and pages and pages of things that have to transpire for somebody to go to the field. Hundreds and hundreds of people all come together. Dozens and dozens of churches coming together to be able to get a family to the mission field. A lot of wonderful things, just so they can serve in a long-term capacity. And in a similar fashion, a small version of that takes place when we send some of our folks on a short-term mission trip. There's a lot of planning, a lot of prayer, there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of wonderful things that transpire, support, training, equipping, prayer, meetings. In short, it takes much to be mission-ready. To be ready, and that's no secret even in the Christian life. It takes much for us to be ready to be able to serve Christ. You know, one of our goals is as a church has been when we started to do this endeavor to go on a missions trip was we want to do more than just have our crew go. We want the whole church to be involved with this. We want the whole church to be plugged in. And that has that ever happened? You're going to see in just a moment. We've seen some wonderful things, and many of you have gotten plugged in a variety of different ways. It's been a wonderful thing to see. But we want as many people to be involved in the trip as possible. As I said earlier about our dear brother, he said, I can't go, but I can make sure you guys can go. And there's a lot of you that have donated things and done lots of wonderful things for us to be able to be mission ready. And so what does that look like for us as a church? We're going to unpack some things here that I hope will be a help to you, share some pictures, and hope it will be a wonderful night here. I don't have a handout, though, so I don't know how wonderful some of you are going to be, you can keep notes or just follow along. It might be helpful. It will be on the screen for you. You know, if we're going to become mission ready, it's going to require some personal compassion on our part. You know, these verses give us insight how the missionary Paul felt about his supporting church. Paul commended them for their compassion as he prayed for them. They identified with him and his ministry, and they felt for him and shared the ministry that they had together. In short, they were a team. They were a team. Paul wasn't off by himself. That they were a team, and their love for the team and their love for one another was seen through the compassion and love that they had for each other. What is compassion look like? What does that look like for them? Well, here in the scriptures, we see in verse number 14 that compassion is shown by how these folks cared. It was really how they cared for him. In the first part of verse number 4, their care for him, Paul said, had not gone unnoticed. And Paul tells them that it was well done. They had done what they could to lighten Paul's load, to be able to be an encouragement. Was the work going to go on? Whether Epaphroditus, whether they came or not, or whether they sent. Well, of course, God's work's not going to be hindered. If we weren't going to go, they're still going to have camp there. We're not coming in to be the heroes. We're not coming in. God's the hero, right? He's the one that We got to make sure we have the right mindset when we go in and we serve. We're just wanting to be the arms and feet of Christ. We're wanting to be an encourager. We're wanting to love on people. We're wanting to be compassionate and be kind to help lighten their load. To say, listen, we're here. We got this. With the Lord's help, of course, they came alongside Paul and helped him. And this is what our missionaries need, not just our long-term missionaries, but our short-term missionaries, right? We need help. We need encouragement. We need to care for one another. Acts 11:29, I love this verse. Then the disciples, every man, according to his own ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Every person, according to their ability. And that's what I've seen here in our church. That everybody say, according to my ability, this is what I can do. I don't know if I can do much, but hey, I can give you a rake. I can give you some clothes. We can come. I can buy a barbecue plate. I'll suffer for Jesus and have a barbecue plate. That's what I'll do. I mean, I'll suffer. Go to Chick-fil-A in the mall. For some of you, you like doing that. For some of us, it's a suffering thing to walk into a mall. And everybody, according to their own ability. It's exciting that God uses people to do His work. And to be a part of it, our church has exercised great compassion in helping our dear brothers and sisters over there in Romania with prayer support, financial support, and friendship. Just last month, Brother Barry and our Romanian team were able to put together, hold off on the pictures just yet here, we were able to put together 12 crates of supplies, I believe, made up of donations from our church body, gym floor, basketball hoops, fence, clothing, yard tools, games, 8,657 pounds. That we've been able to save and send. And we've got some pictures that I want to show you here. This was our team going over and packing some of these crates that we see there. And a lot of it all came from clothes and donations that you guys were able to give us. Now I'm going to have a throwback for some of you, if you're ready for this. We also were able to donate our gym floor. This is what that looked like just not all that long ago. And there's a shotgun view of it that's there. For those of you that may not have been here, you might not believe it, but that side over there was a gymnasium, and we didn't know what to do with this floor. And I think Brother Gerald was here, like about the time we were ripping everything up, and he's like, "I know what to do with that floor." And Brother Barry's had it piled up in his shop for the whole time, year and a half or so. You know, had it piled up, and as a matter of fact, him and Pete Feldman and several others came and risked their own life, right, to get up into these rafters and take down these basketball goals. I started to get a quote of what it was going to be to kind of take them down, and it was going to be pretty pricey. I was like, we got it. It's fine. And I saw pictures later, and I'm like, I'm glad I wasn't there, because it just they're straddling ladders and up on top of things. But they got it down, and being able to ship all of that, we have you know, this was one of the work day where we were cleaning, pressure washing crates. I mean, there's lots of pictures I could share with you, but here's a good number of the crates that we have heading out there to Hope Baptist Church there in Fundula and putting it into overseas container. Unfortunately, it's not going to be there when we get there. We wished the timing would have worked out. We could have put the floor together, had a big game of Tetris, and it would have been great to work that whole thing. But unfortunately, more than likely, it's not going to be there when we get there. But isn't that great to know? I mean, we were able to have a great hand, a great encouragement in the ministry, and a great hand in the ministry that's there. You know, the compassion is shown in how we care, what we do, how we get involved. Not only in how we care, but compassion is shown in how we communicate. How we communicate with people. You know, these folks in verse number 14, 15, you see, they communicated quite a bit. These weren't fair-weather friends. These weren't people that were just there when things were going good. They saw his need, and they cared enough to stay in touch. Cared enough to stay in touch with him. We communicate regularly with our missionaries. We want them to know that they are not alone. They're not by themselves. Several church members reach out often. Our staff communicates with our missionaries quite a bit. They're here to speak quite often. We have them through missions conferences and missions emphasis and conference calls and Skype calls, lots of different things. We started a ministry not all that long ago called Stitching for Missions. Some of you may have seen some of that. There's a group of folks who love to knit and crochet and make quilts and lots of very unique things. And our team has communicated with the Romanian team, And they've made a lot of homemade items for all the missionary teams that work with the Ziemer family and all those places. And it's a wonderful thing. There's a lot of pictures of these. I couldn't show them, and I knew they wouldn't show up too good on the screen here. A lot of them little booties and little hand things, and it's girly stuff. I don't know. It looks really neat, and I couldn't figure it out, but I couldn't wear it. But I had one lady put cash in my hand, wants to go directly to the missionary when we arrive to communicate our appreciation for them. You know, our missionaries need encouragement. They need us to communicate with them, to love on them. And not just our long-term missionaries, right? Our short-term missionaries. People, the reality of what we're going and serving, many of them are going through great efforts to serve Christ in this way. And we want to show all of our missionaries, those that we send out of this church and those that we are supporting, that we are behind them and that we care about them. And we want to communicate with them, and we want to show them the love of Christ and supporting one another, that they're not by themselves. So not only do we become mission-ready by being personally compassionate, but we become mission-ready through financial contribution. You know, after Paul left Philippi, he went to Thessalonica, and the church in Philippi began supporting him out of just sheer appreciation for all he had done. The church at Philippi literally was born on the back of Paul. If you know the story, he came into Philippi and there wasn't even a church, there wasn't even a synagogue, there was nothing that was there. And he met down by this little river, by this creek, and as he met there through this series of events that is very interesting, he ends up incarcerated and they end up beating him within an inch of his life. They realize what they have done, that Paul's a Roman citizen, lots of details work out that I don't have time to get into here, but they eventually just said, Paul, just go ahead and go. Basically, my bad. Go ahead. And the church there in Philippi, the believers there in Philippi, never forgot what Paul was willing to sacrifice, what he was willing to do so that they could know who Christ was. Literally, right off of his back. Ministry endeavors are not cheap. They come at great personal cost. They come at great physical cost. They come at great financial cost. Dr. John Henry Jowett said this, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. I like what one guy said. He said, if there's going to be a great blessing, somebody's going to be bleeding. It's going to cost. Giving is not something that we just throw at haphazardly or we just give whenever we feel the emotional tug. Giving should be something towards missions and towards the Great Commission and towards the worldwide endeavor of letting people know who Christ is. Should be something that is taking place regularly. Giving should be regularly. Verse number 16 says, and they sent once and again to my necessity. These guys were faithful, right? They were continually giving and giving and giving. And it's vital we understand that we will never win the world to Christ with the spare change in our pocket. It's not going to happen. When we fail to support missions, we're voting to bring our missionaries home. I mean, no vote is the same as a vote. You know that, don't you? Paul's occupation and ministry created demands that needed support. And we see the necessity of taking care of our missionaries, both our long-term and our short-term, and it's going to be, giving should be something that's just a regular outflow of what we do in giving to missions and giving to see people come to know Christ and giving and giving and giving. Giving's not only regular, but giving will be rewarded. We see in verse number 17, he says, I wanted you to receive fruit to your account. You know the verse in 2 Corinthians 9 that says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, it's been well said that we understand this. You can't outgive God. You know that? We've heard it said time and time again. You can't outgive God, and certainly never more true in missions. People who are engaging in the Great Commission and are engaging in seeing people fulfill the Great Commission are abundantly blessed by God. There are multiple ways to make an impact for the Great Commission, and no good work goes unrewarded. I love this verse. It's such an encouragement to me. I pray it would be to you. No matter how it is that you may be, no matter what ministry efforts you may be involved in, look at Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not faithful. He's not going to forget all them desserts you made. He's not going to forget giving to that fundraiser. He's not going to regret. He's faithful to remember things nobody else sees. If we're going to be mission ready, ready to go, to be a mission ready church that is on mission, that is on task, that is on point, it's going to require personal compassion. Me, compassion. You, compassion. Not just the church. We should be compassionate. No, you. You should be compassionate. And I should be compassionate. Personal compassion. Financial contribution. And then finally, sacrificial commitment. You know, you see this church here in our text. You see the type of commitment they were willing to go through, that they were willing to send one of their very own, were willing to send Epaphroditus. Paul's ministry was able to be perpetuated because the people pleased God with their sacrifice. He needed some encouragement. He needed somebody to come along beside him and love on him and encourage him while he's incarcerated. You know, we have a wonderful privilege of being able to see our church exist for several decades, and there are some people that have gone out of our church to be able to go minister. And I pray that we'd be able to see that again. That we'd be able to see people that say, I believe God would have me to go. I believe God would have me to serve. Now, as wonderful as that is, sometimes, you know, the pastor mind starts thinking, you're like, yeah, but they're a leader, and they're a teacher, and they're a tither, and they give, and they show up, and they work. You know, that's the wrong way to think, isn't it? These folks, Epaphroditus, they didn't send some schmuck. I mean, they sent somebody that could really minister, that could really help. See, the church is to be a sending agency. It's to be sending people. See there in verse number 18. He sent him, and the gifts that he sent with Epaphroditus, we're coming with gifts. We're wanting to love on this family and love on this ministry. It was well-pleasing to God. You know, church, if the church at home is not willing, being interested in sending people to the field, then people aren't going to go. You know, why in the world are you going all the way to Romania? Why are you spending all this money? Why are you going thousands of miles when people right here need Jesus? We're supposed to be a sending agency. We're supposed to be a going people. Church is God's creation for the observances of the divine ordinances, and it's God's institution for teaching his purposes. Meaning that since the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, the Great Commission falls principally on us. And how is that playing out for you? How is that playing out for your family? I like what one guy said. He said, the church must send or the church will end. We are to be sending missionaries out of our church. And one step in that process is taking a short-term mission trip and going out and whetting the appetite of people to say, listen, these are people that need Christ. We want you to see a foreign field. See the value in what is taking place elsewhere. I wrote down a few things. It helps people see firsthand the mission work. It pushes people out of their comfort zones. It allows people to accomplish a God-sized task. It develops people in their relationship to one another, and enables people to understand a little bit more a global God. There's something about seeing somebody worship in a language you don't understand and seeing them do it in a completely different way. you know, God is far bigger than we give him credit for. The church is not only to be a sending agency, but a supporting one. It's our duty, our sacred duty, to pray for our missionaries and support them. Amen? That is our duty. And I'm going to tell you, our team going to Romania, we need your prayers. We need it. We've got to have it. We dare not set one foot on the airplane going in our own strength. We need you. Our team will be headed to Romania for 10 days or better. And the short-term mission trip, I'm praying God will do some wonderful things in my life, the life of our team, life of our church. Because even though this is a short-term mission trip, there's nothing short-term about God's plan, nothing short-term about God's mission and what God has for us. You know, the Great Commission is not a suggestion. What did he say, go therefore? Meaning somebody's got to do what? Somebody's got to go. To share the gospel with the world, we must be willing to pack our bags sometime and leave home. Not everyone can get on a plane and go to a foreign country. I understand that. Not everyone's able to do that and have health limitations and family pressures, and sometimes travel is just impractical. There's no reason to feel guilty about that. Instead, remember those who can't go to the mission field physically can still go by way of prayer and financially. You can still go. What do we say? For we are laborers together with God. We're in this thing together with God's help. I like this. There's three goes in mission. There are those who must go. We feel that would be us, those that are feeling like we have to go. Some go further than others, but we all must go. There are those who must go. There are those who must let go. Sometimes a parent or even a spouse can stand in the way of people not going to a field and not serving. There are those who must go, those who must let go, and there are those who must help others go. Help by praying, help by giving. Everyone can have a part in mission, and we as a church can be mission ready. We can be all on board. You don't have to get on an airplane. You know, you can take your own mission trip to our children's ministry. You want to do that? You can go to your own great beyond, to the teen ministry, if you feel so inclined. You can really feel adventurous and go to the nursery ministry, you know. Regardless of where you are to go, we are all to go, are we not? We're all to go and serve. So I'll leave you with this. You don't have to fly on an airplane to serve and minister to others. You can be a part right now. We don't know what God is going to do in the lives of our team members. I hope that you'll pray for the 15 of us. But we need to support their call, need to support the mission. And I hope now that you understand the value of what's transpiring, that you'll be more supportive of us financially and prayerfully, most importantly, as we minister for our great King, to be an encouragement, to spread the word of Christ, as we are able to have a time of testimony in airports, are able to be what Christ would have us to be. So we hope that you'll pray for us.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.